The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Infrastructure negotiations continue between the White House and Senate Republicans.
Talks continue between President Biden's team and a group of GOP senators, even though a deal won't be reached before the president's end of May deadline.
We're going to meet sometime next week, and we'll see if we can move that.
And he says time is of the essence.
I told her we have to finish this really soon.
The White House proposes a $1.7 trillion infrastructure plan, while Republicans have countered with a $928 billion offer. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Two dead, up to 25 injured in a shooting outside a banquet hall in South Florida. It happened early this morning, the El Mula Banquet Hall in northwest Miami-Dade County near Hialeah. This is SRN News.
We can't walk a mile in their boots. We can't stand guard while they try to sleep. We can't protect them when they are in harm's way. What we can do is honor them. This weekend, we honor the men and women who have given their lives for our freedom. In remembrance this Memorial Day, we say thank you. AM 1280, The Patriot, intelligent radio.
The longest-running local conservative talk show in the Twin Cities, headed your way next, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. In for the closer, it's the headliner this week, Mr. Mitch Berg. Let's update your forecast quickly. For today, some clouds, 67, could see a scattered shower, partly cloudy, and mid-70s for your Memorial Day. The Narn is next here on The Patriot.
Do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control.
Go flight.
Studio engineer.
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
Oh, so close, but yet so far. It is I, Mitch Berg, normally heard Saturdays from 1 to 3 here on AM 1280, The Patriot. In today, as I do occasionally, once or twice per year, sometimes more, filling in for Brad, who's off on assignment today. And, by the way, Brad, of course, is the person who, in Twin Cities radio terms, made it. Yes, that's him. But he's off enjoying a well-deserved assignment today. That's right, assignment. Got to stay on message here. I am in today, as I was yesterday, and will be continuing to be, as I have weekends since 2004, which occurs to me was 17 years and 3 months ago, going on 18 years of dominating Twin Cities Weekend Radio, along with Brad and, of course, our colleague King Banyan, who's heard Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on our sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman. So that's the Northern Alliance. Almost 10 years as of next week, actually, as of this coming Wednesday, I believe, 10 years with the same exact lineup. We have been going on 10 years on the Northern Alliance Radio Network with this same exact crew of people. Myself, King Banyan, Brad Carlson, the new guy on the block, who's, again, 10th anniversary on the air as a member of the NARN, is coming up this Tuesday. Almost made it a full decade without any changes in the NARN's lineup. Till this week. Big announcement coming up later on in the broadcast here today, as the NARN, as I alluded during yesterday's broadcast, is going to be making its first personnel change for I was going to say the better. Let's just say the different. No, no, no. It's for the better. It's going to augment the power that the Narn has already had and extend it and move it on to another level. And this is going to be great. We'll be doing the big reveal, I believe, later on in today's broadcast. And by the way, this is one of the things you're going to want to bring the kids in, a moment of history that you're going to want to have them in on here. So, by the way, if you want to join this broadcast, 651-289-4488, the number to call, by all means, join us. That's what we're here for. Brad, myself, King, and the next member of the Narn, who's coming up around the corner here. At any rate, it's Memorial Day weekend, and as I said on yesterday's broadcast, Memorial Day is a day where we really have three missions to do. Number one, say thanks to those veterans who we can't say thanks to in person anymore. Veterans Day, November 11th, is the day that we say thanks to all the veterans who we can still say thank you to, all the ones who served in the military and are alive to tell the tale. Of course, Memorial Day tomorrow is the day when we observe those who did not. And there are who did not survive their brush with those that would bring this country down. And there are roughly a little over a million of them over the course of this nation's history, the majority of them from during the Civil War, far and away the bloodiest war this nation's ever suffered. But every engagement we've ever had has left someone. War is about killing and dying. And as while George Patton said, the goal is not to die for your country, make the other poor dumb so-and-so die for his. Nonetheless, the other side's trying to do the same as well, and thus we have had over a million American dead in all of our wars throughout history, and today, this is the weekend we remember them. The second thing we try and do on Memorial Day is to do our best and reflect on whether we have made this country a place that is worthy of all the sacrifice that came before. This, I hope we all do every day, but this time of year is a great time to refocus on that mission. By the way, speaking of the mission, that brings us to the third thing to keep in mind for Memorial Day, what it is we do to continuously not just make this nation worthy of all that has been sacrificed to keep it the way it is, but to roll back the erosions on all that is good about this country. All that is worth moving to, all that is worth defending. And there's a lot of it out there, an awful lot of it out there, as we've seen for quite some time, and really as we've seen a magnifying glass put on this past year. This story caught my eye as part of the ongoing degeneration of society here in the Twin Cities. The St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, which, by the way, is one of the little cultural icons that makes the Twin Cities themselves, one of many that makes the Twin Cities a historically a metropolitan area worth moving to, worth living in, worth trying to support, at least historically, had a big and not necessarily fun announcement this past week. St. Paul Chamber Orchestra canceled a show scheduled for this coming Thursday in Minneapolis due to safety concerns at the theater. In a statement issued yesterday, the orchestra said its June 3rd performance at the Plaza at the Capri would not take place this week due to a shooting near the theater. The orchestra said it appears no one was hurt during the shooting, but the Plymouth Christian Youth Center building near the Capri on Oliver Avenue North has been hit by bullets. The shooting, along with the uptick of violence in Minneapolis, led the theater to cancel the show. Quote, both our organizations are concerned about the intense escalation of gun violence in our treasured Northside community, end quote, wrote the director of the Capri, James Scott, in a message. Quote, we've never before had to cancel an event at the Capri out of concern for the safety of our audience, artists, and employees. And we are deeply saddened to do so now. The Capri is working with the orchestra to reschedule the outdoor performance at a later date, and three other scheduled performances will go on as planned. Or so we're told. We will see what happens. This is a summer that has all the potential to make long, hot summers of years past look like pikers. We will hope and pray that that is not the case, because the people of Minnesota, people, I should say, Minneapolis and St. Paul, well, I'd say they deserve better. And as individuals, they certainly do. Nobody deserves to live under the kind of tyranny of fear that this sort of ongoing drip, 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 or I don't know, blast, blast, blast of street violence brings to a community. And it's, but on the other hand, the people of Minneapolis keep sending these DFL chuckleheads to office. Not just DFL chuckleheads, but wave after wave of chuckleheads that go even farther out to the left, out further out into the realm of nonsense than the wave that became before. And I have to wonder, it wasn't the old definition of insanity, continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? It's impossible to look at what's going on in North Minneapolis and not feel sorry for all the lives of the children and dependents and family members and people who have no control over the situation, who are being eroded, whose quality is being ground out day by day, weekend by weekend, by this nonstop torrent of violence. Note that I use the term violence, not gun violence. We will come back to that. Over the years, I've read a fair amount about the sociology of societies that grow up with a lot of violence around. Not only just reading, but seeing what happens to people who spend their formative years around this sort of anxiety, around this sort of fear. And I have to say, North Minneapolis has got to be a lab study on the subject. When I was in college, I went to college with a number of people who were Lebanese Christians. They were young men who had grown up in Beirut during the 1970s and early 1980s, who were of Christian descent, part of what used to be a strong and vibrant and, well, existent Christian community along the coast in Lebanon, which, by the way, has largely been driven to other places by the wave of terror that struck that place. And they all, these being men in their late teens and early 20s, they all showed signs of the PTSD that comes from being around, growing up in a place where the environment itself was toxic and lethal. And I'm afraid that we might just see, I'm afraid to see what is going to come from North Minneapolis in terms of mental health over the next 10 to 20 years or so. I think we're seeing some of the wages of that, by the way, in regards to the COVID pandemic right now. We have had a generation of children in this society who have been raised in single-parent households. And we've talked over the years about the vulnerability of children of single parent households to going off and falling into a life of crime. But I think there's also a case to be made that children of single parents, especially women, with their different form of risk acceptance than men have, might be more prone than parents of mixed gender two parent families to look at the world around them as in terror. I mean, we've heard the stories from teachers in elementary schools in junior highs about how kids go through their tween years cooped up inside the house because their parents, frequently single mothers, are afraid to let them out of the house. And so you start with a generation that is disproportionately burdened with that sort of outlook on the world. You throw in a COVID pandemic on top of it, forcing isolation, forcing basically driving fear onto those who are most susceptible to it. That's pretty much a textbook recipe for anxieties of all kinds. And then throw the nonstop, I was going to say drip, 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 but the constant fear that comes from constant endemic violence that just goes on and on. And this is something, by the way, that people in the military have known for well over a century right now. it's not the artillery barrage that all comes and goes in 10 minutes and blows up everything in its path that messes with people's minds. It's the one that just keeps on going, dropping a shot at random here and there for days on end. That's the part that makes people crack. We'll be talking much more about that in coming weeks here on this broadcast. But join us, if you will, 651-289-4488. Or go join us on Twitter, Gab, or MeWe at hashtag Narn Show. N-A-R-N Show, Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Whoa, look at all these options.
You can fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
On a bitter December morning, Shelby went to a Twin Cities abortion clinic, planning to get abortion pills to end her pregnancy. A young mom of a three-year-old daughter, Shelby didn't see how she could parent another child by herself. But when she got there, she saw the Alpha Women's Center Mobile Medical Clinic parked nearby. This is Annie with Alpha Women's Center, a pro-life Christian ministry in the Southwest Metro. We operate a mobile ultrasound unit that we call the Miracle Machine. Shelby left the abortion clinic that day and came on the mobile unit instead. When she saw her baby on the ultrasound, she changed her mind and chose life. Alpha Women's Center has been offering help and hope to women like Shelby since 1982, and we're the only mobile pregnancy center in Minnesota. We go where women are, serving in five locations. Our mobile clinic is staffed by licensed medical professionals who offer best practice care at no cost. We're entirely donor-funded by pro-life people like you. To learn more or support our ministry, visit us at miraclemachinemn.com.
Well, I moved into the house in the summer of 2018, and the siding was terrible. Hi, I'm Dave from Ottomie Dye. I got a hold of JTR through friends. It almost looked like a giraffe. There were dark stains where the water had saturated the old paint that was on it, but there were other things that needed addressing, and there were a multitude of things, from putting doors in and railings and doing some electrical and things like that, all of which JTR gladly folded into the contract and took care of for me. It was an amazing transformation. In fact, my brother-in-law, who had visited before we had the siding done, when he came back about a month after it had been done, he stopped out in front of the house and called me and said, "What's your address again?" Because he couldn't believe the difference.
Contact JTR Roofing now for your siding, roofing, and window needs.
AM 1280, The Patriot, and iHeartRadio. They go together like stars and stripes. Listen at iHeart.com or with the free iHeartRadio mobile app.
AM 1280, The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Our broadcast, of course, going on 18 years of dominating Twin Cities weekend radio, which really means dominating Twin Cities radio, all of it, every minute, 24-7. By the way, the station is currently in the middle of celebrating its ongoing celebration of 20 years under its current format. And by the way, I have to think that we've got a plan coming up for 2025, I should say, which is the station's 100th anniversary. By the way, it blows my mind when I think of radio stations being around for 100 years. But AM 1280, The Patriot, which I believe is the third, maybe fourth frequency ever issued in the Twin Cities, is going on 100 years old here. Anyway, we are 20 years old, which for a little station on the right side of the dial on the AM band is a phenomenal time in one format. And we're happy to be here. So stick around. We got some big events coming up here as well to show our appreciation to the people who made it all possible, which is each and every one of you. Thanks for staying tuned all these years. 651-289-4488, the number to call, or join us on hashtag NARN Show. That's NARN Show on any of your favorite social media. It could be on Twitter, it could be on Gab, it could be on MeWe, it could be on Parler. Either way, that's where you find Northern Alliance Radio Network. And by the way, communicate with us if you want to. If you're mic shy, go ahead. Just get a hold of us any old way at all. So one of the things that has come out of this last, 17 years and change on the air and going on rapidly, 20 years of blogging for me, myself, has been Berg's Law. Now, this is a body of law that, in every case, started as satire. Satirical observations about people, largely but not entirely related to politics, that started out as sarcastic quips, sardonic observations, satire. The idea that satire, exaggerations of the truth, sometimes tell you more about the truth than the straight-up facts do, which has become quite an industry lately. I mean, the Babylon Bee has picked up where the Onion left off and built itself quite a niche bringing satire to the level of being perhaps America's foremost form of journalism. And by the way, if you think I'm being hyperbolic, the left led the way on that, turning The Daily Show, perhaps, into, among the left, a leading news source over the last couple of decades here, with dreadful effects on the level of information that an entire generation has. But we digress. One of those Berg's Laws, the one that has gotten far and away the most traffic over the last, 16 or 17 years, is one that I call Berg's Seventh Law of Progressive Projection. If you've been listening to this broadcast for a while, you've heard it before. It comes up several times a year, and it's always dead on. That's why it's called a law, not a suggestion. It reads as follows. When a progressive issues a group defamation or assault on conservatives' ethics, character, humanity, or respect for liberty or the truth, they are, at best, projecting. At worst, they are drawing attention away from their own misdeeds. Now, Berg's Seventh Law is the big kahuna of the Berg's Laws, the one that, at face value, in its own way, explains all progressive behavior. Not so much a strategy as a nationwide inability to engage dissent from their narrative as anything but projection and gaslighting. And there have been, over the course of 20-odd years on my, almost 20 years on my blog, hundreds of references to Berg's Seventh Law. One of my favorites was the observation, and by the way, this is an observation caught by, I believe, a Gallup poll sometime or late in the Obama administration, and I've seen nothing contradicting it lately, that paradoxically, global warming skeptics, I'm not going to use the term deniers because that turns science into religion. Denial is a term of faith, not a term of empirical observation. But people who are skeptical of the idea of climate change or global warming, or even as I am, skeptical that the idea of turning the keys to the world's economies over to people who have never made a payroll before and whose only qualification is being part of the nonprofit industrial complex is a good idea. And by the way, there's a great case to be made that it is not. While the climate is always changing, and in fact, over time, even over human history, has changed many times, the notion that the way to deal with that is to socialize the world, to make the entire world economy planned by nonprofit industrial complex members from various governments, from the G7, from the UN, from the various parties to be. People who are skeptical of that notion have smaller carbon footprints than global warming advocates. Now, we all point to examples like Leonardo DiCaprio flying a private jet around the world to go to a conference on global warming or climate change or whatever they're calling it these days in Jakarta, Indonesia. That's the least efficient form of transportation there is in the history of humankind, other than perhaps flying a Saturn V rocket around the world. And by the way, that's more carbon effective because it's powered by liquid hydrogen and oxygen, which creates no lasting pollution other than water falling to Earth. Anyway, a geekery digression there. Sorry about that. But it is a fact, and I've, by the way, noticed this in my personal life as well. I've had this same conversation with global warming zealots in my personal life, and I've showed them that my carbon footprint is considerably more modest than theirs. I one in particular, a friend, acquaintance of mine on the progressive side of things, is right there on social media lecturing away, virtue signaling away on social media about the need to get with the science on global warming, on climate change, on whatever they're calling it these days. And by the way, more on that coming up later. But this person drives a big stomping pickup truck. I'm not going to give the brand or the make or the model, but this is one of those things that maybe gets 15 miles to the gallon with a tailwind and is the kind of thing that if it were being driven by a conservative would be have people chuckling about somebody compensating for something, if you catch my drift, because of course it all comes back to that for progressives. And I, at the time we discussed this, was driving a Toyota Corolla, one of the most fuel-efficient vehicles in the business. In fact, more fuel-efficient than a Prius, if you consider the amount of fossil fuels that go into producing a Prius and its batteries. At any rate, I lived a much more carbon, a much less carbon-intensive lifestyle than this self-labeled, scientifically motivated global warming zealot. And this is true across society as a general rule. I say a general rule. And this is to specifically avoid crazy examples like Al Gore, who uses more energy than hundreds of normal Americans in his huge mansion, bought, by the way, with the proceeds of carbon credit fees, which is basically showing what a scam he has going. But across society, all other things being equal, global warming and climate change skeptics, as a statistical rule, have smaller carbon footprints than climate change zealots, people who believe in the orthodox declared version of climate change. Well, that's one example of Berg's seventh law, when people on the left riff on conservatives' morality, their ethics, their respect for life, liberty, the health, the safety, the lives indeed of others. They're projecting, at the very least projecting, and at the very most drawing attention away from their own crimes, their own sins, their own misdeeds. Saw another great example of this past week. A new study of diversity in the tech. By the way, nobody is virtue signaling us these days more than tech companies, other than perhaps media companies. A new study of diversity in the technology industry found companies that made statements of solidarity with Black Lives Matter had twice as many African-American employees on average than those who didn't. They're finding I'm sorry, I read that backwards. No. In fact, a new study of diversity in the technology industry found that companies that virtue signaled the public with statements of their solidarity with Black Lives Matter had 20% fewer black employees on average per capita than those that didn't. The finding highlights a gap between what companies say about social issues and what they do about social issues in their own workplace, according to Stephanie Lampkin, the founder and chief executive officer of Blendor, which conducted the survey. Obviously, no company should be hiring specifically because someone, their would-be employees belong to a demographic over their skill. But it's interesting to note there is an inverse correlation. In tech companies, the most obnoxious virtue signalers in all of American industry, along with the media, the inverse correlation between virtue signaling and African-American employees. By the way, this has reflected my experience in the world of work. Questions, comments, feedback, 651-289-4488. Go nowhere. I'll be right back.
Your business is ready for a reboot. Recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers, making buying decisions right now and for the future. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundMSP.com. SurroundMSP.com. Connecting you with new customers.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-430-8761. 800-430-8761. 800-430-8761. That's 800-430-8761.
Now that spring is here, your windshield may be exposed to a few more hazards. So trust your repairs to Advantage Auto Glass. Hi, John Wichko here, owner of Advantage Auto Glass. I'd like to invite you to finally get that chipped or cracked windshield fixed right the first time. You root for your home team, so why not trust your windshield to your hometown repair shop, Advantage Auto Glass. So give us a call today at 952-423-6396, and we'll replace your windshield with only the highest quality parts and adhesives. Or, if you call your agent or your claims line first, make sure you tell them you want to work with Advantage Auto Glass and no one else. Call Advantage Auto Glass today at 952-423-6396. And don't forget, you can schedule your appointment on our website at replacemywindshield.com. That's replacemywindshield.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, 651-289-4488, the number to call. Join us, won't you please? My name is Mitch Berg, my blog, shotinthedark.info, my normal show, Saturdays from 1 to 3, but I am in for Brad Carlson, who is off on assignment today, enjoying an assignment elsewhere, not in the Twin Cities. That's what he gets to do. He's worked hard. It's been a busy 10 years for him as the new guy on the block with the Northern Alliance Radio Network. So far, that's right, for another week or so. That's right, big reveal coming up later today. The next stage of the Northern Alliance Radio Network. The hype machine is in full effect. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Phone lines are open, by the way, as we will prove just now by going to Shoreview and Bob. Welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network. You're on the air.
Hi, Mitch. I had a question about the term virtue signaling, but first I wanted to say that, you know, it's not the size of the vehicle that matters. It's how you use it, if you know what I mean.
But on bump, yes.
let's see. Now, virtue signaling, is that the same thing as self-righteousness? And if it is, why do you think people are so hung up on it these days?
It is a symptom of self-righteousness. It absolutely is. Self-righteousness is the general state of believing that you are, for whatever reason, more righteous, more good, more better than those around you, than other people in society. And virtue signaling is the way of conveying that to people who may or may not know you already. You know, the ones who will take their social media profiles and put a Black Lives Matter avatar on them, even though, well, I mean, they're not members of Black Lives Matter, but they need to make sure you know that they're sympathetic, or as it is put lately, that they are an ally. That's the latest term. You got to be an ally. You can't be one of them, but you can sure be an ally. Much more on that coming up on my blog this coming week, by the way. This has opened up a huge can of worms. Thanks for your call, Bob, as always, by the way. 651-289-4488. Talking about a study of diversity in the technology industry found that companies that virtue signaled their solidarity with Black Lives Matter employed 20% fewer Black employees on average than companies that didn't. Now, I don't know if this relates strictly to tech companies, and it might be if they're comparing tech companies to companies elsewhere across, you know, outside technology, for example, because there is a definite dearth, a shortage of African Americans in the world of technology. Not sure why that is. Technology companies have been begging. And by the way, technology programs at schools have been begging African-American students to check it out, to give it a try, as they have been doing, by the way, with women for well over 30 years now. That's one factoid that slips past me. I work in the world of technology for my day job because, believe it or not, being on the air 2 hours a week does not pay all my bills. Go figure. And the percentage, and if you work in the world of technology, you know that companies are practically on their knees begging for women, as well as ethnic minorities, Latino, Asian, well, not so much Asian, but African. There's plenty of Asians in the world of technology. And, I mean, that's been where an awful lot of them have gone to prosper, frankly. Who can blame them? It's the place to be. But in terms of finding Latin American or Native American, or to a greater extent still African American people to work in the world of technology, and women, they go begging. They can't find enough candidates to make even the faintest pretense at diversity. And I should say, if you're out there and you are an African American educator, if you're not pushing your kids towards getting at least considering some sort of technical background, some sort of technical training or education, and keep driving them into, I don't know, whatever you're driving them into now, you're doing teaching all wrong. I just got to say that. At any rate, the percentage of African Americans in particular in the world of technology is lower than it is in, to the best of my knowledge, just about any other field in the country. And that goes for women as well, by the way. In the world of computer science, in the mid-1980s, 40% of the degrees issued in computer science from American universities were going to women. Today, it's in the low 20s. And this at a time when companies are flat out begging young women to go into STEM, to science, technology, engineering, and math. It wasn't a huge priority 25, 30, 40 years ago, and yet they did, and today they're not. Why is that? Anyway, corporations if you work in the world of corporate life, you know, and in some cases, if you're like me, you've worked for companies that pretend to take political stances for the purpose of promoting a public image of themselves, And you know, this is nothing new. We saw this when companies like Apple, Nike, Coca-Cola all came out with their, quote, principled stands against injustice, end quote, in opposing common sense voter integrity laws in Georgia, for example. And by the way, they were also lobbying against a bill that would bar U.S. companies from relying on forced Uyghur labor in China, forced labor in general, not just Uyghurs. By the way, it's tempting to think that this sort of virtue signaling is something new, something, an ongoing diminution of the character of American business. It's not new, nothing new at all. It was within the last couple decades, in response to businesses capitalizing off of climate change hysteria, there was a term that was coined probably about 10 years ago. Anybody remember the term greenwashing? When companies would deceptively market themselves as green and environmentally friendly solely to boost their business. It's called greenwashing. It's basically trying to say, okay, we know there are a lot of people out there that will vote their consciences, and their consciences are telling them, for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, that climate change is real, it's man-made, and it's going to kill us all if we don't turn the keys to the world's economy over to people who, well, over to the nonprofit, industrial, and government sectors. So this is not something new, although it has certainly gotten teeth in recent years. This is nothing new. But what is nothing new is the fact that when you dig beneath the surface of these declarations of all of this virtue signaling, sort of like the climate change advocates who use more carbon than, well, you or I, sort of like the companies that signal their virtue about supporting Black Lives Matter in every possible way, but hiring more African Americans for high wage technical and engineering jobs. Sort of like the companies that wrapped themselves in green over the last few decades while basically continuing business as usual. It's nothing new here, folks. Just have to watch out for it. By the way, interesting watching how Coca-Cola, after wrapping itself in wokeism over this past year, seems to be quietly slinking away from woke policies. Woke-a-Cola seems to be trying to quietly walk back its commitment to being woke, since it seems to be, I don't know, bad for business, destroying their bottom line. This is one of the areas of the culture war, by the way, that's has some good news and some bad news. And I want to talk about that when we come back. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, I want to talk about the further evolution of the culture war on the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Something going on around here. Around here. Something going wrong around.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280, The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and Radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
Are you tired of bouncing over your sunken apron into your garage, shoveling snow off an uneven driveway, or stubbing your toe on your uneven sidewalk? Hi, I'm John Lamore, owner of Expert Concrete Raising. We can fix your settled concrete with a more permanent solution than mudjacking. Expert Concrete Raising uses a high-density polyurethane foam. It doesn't deteriorate, shrink, or wash away over time. Get it done right the first time. For a free estimate, contact the second-generation concrete raising business at expertconcreteraising.com. That's expertconcreteraising.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the four ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from four different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance to buy $1 million of affordable term life for you. All you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
In an era of fake news and misleading headlines, turn to a leader in accurate reporting, townhall.com. Get caught up with today's top stories, find brilliant commentary from our columnists, and have a laugh with our political cartoons at townhall.com.
AM 1280 The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Join us, won't you please? Hey, don't forget the Dinesh D'Souza podcast, available 5 days a week for free. The best price of all at am1280thepatriot.com. Of course, Dinesh D'Souza, the firebrand activist for all that is good and true about American society, auteur of a number of movies that have done as good a job as anything of explaining modern society and the pitfalls and evils of Democrat politics. And he's bringing you all that wisdom every single day, 5 days a week at am1280thepatriot.com. By the way, back in the day, probably 30 years ago now, he wrote probably my favorite biography of Ronald Reagan ever. If you get a chance to read, it's a quick little read. It's probably about 225 pages or so. Ronald Reagan, How an Ordinary Man Became an Extraordinary President. Brilliant book. If you get a chance to read that, that's going back way, way early in his career. At any rate, 651-289-4488, Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson. If you can't tell by the voice, you can tell by the soundtrack. Music changes when I'm in the studio, but other than that, Brad, by the way, coming up on his 10th anniversary on the Northern Alliance Radio Network, that alone is worth a celebration by itself. Topic I want to talk about here next is an area where, for better or worse, conservatives have made some impacts in winning cultural battles that perhaps we shouldn't have. And by shouldn't have, I mean no one would have expected us to have won. We're not big on cultural battles. We like our culture to just start off good and stay good, strong, solid, reliable. And it doesn't. That's not the way it works. Conservatives have to start getting into the trenches and fighting the battle, not necessarily in a dirty way, in a slimy way, but getting involved in the future of our society, if nothing else, by making sure politicians stay on the straight and narrow. One area, however, we have done a good job is, and I hate to say it because it's not exactly the right term, but while the left has its cancel culture, where it goes out and makes it impossible, tries at least to make it impossible for a person to have a living, have a career, have a peaceful life. If you disagree from them, they will dox you, they will swat you, they will do what they can to make your life miserable and untenable and unsustainable. Conservatives do that
with terms, with bits and pieces of language. We got some great examples, of course. Back, I don't know, 35 years ago, the progressive in-crowd started off, by the way, the in-crowd, by which I mean academics, media, people from the nonprofit industrial complex and the like, developed the term political correctness. And if you're listening to this term now, you think, oh, yeah, the term we use to tell them how little we care for what they have to say. And it's just sort of a bit of sly mockery from conservatives and from regular people who don't care that much about politics. Political correctness is now a bit of self-parody. You don't see progressives. In fact, within a year or so of the term coming out in the mid-1980s, progressives said, political correctness doesn't exist. It's just a term made up by right-wingers to try and satirize us. And by the way, this has gone from term to term to term. 15, 20 years ago, they demanded comprehensive gun control. It was in the names of their groups. The group that is now called the Brady Organization used to be called Handgun Control Incorporated. Gun control was part of their name. That was part of what they could say what they wanted out in the open. Well, months and years of mockery from conservatives and just plain real people and gun owners and the like, and a tidal wave of political annihilation, of course. And the progressives said, gun control doesn't exist and it never existed. It's just a fairy tale the right uses to try and scare its followers and to increase gun sales. Well, we all know that's rubbish. Similar terms for, say, diversity. It's good to be diverse. And after a few years of being mocked and taunted, suddenly the line became, within a year or two, diversity doesn't exist. It's just a term made up by right-wingers to try and make us look like cartoons. Or, well, the list of terms goes on and on. Latinx is one. Or is it Latinx? L-A-T-I-N-X. This one didn't last long. I mean, you still hear it on, say, National Public Radio, which is aimed at the people for whom that term was invented and by whom it was invented. Latinx is a generic academic term for all people of Latin descent. Now, it's a friend of mine of Latino descent said it's, first of all, a way for white upper middle class progressive academics to say, you people all look the same to me, without saying something quite that overtly racist. But it is also, you know, not racist per se, but appropriates the Latin language and bastardizes it. I mean, the Latin language, the term Latino, is a masculine term, a masculine noun. For those of you who have never learned foreign languages, and I'm going to sound all pedantic here, most languages around the world include nouns that have gender, which, by the way, for the woke crowd is just really a horrible thought for them. But in fact, nouns, if you study Spanish, French, German, Norwegian, Dutch, pretty much Russian, pretty much any every other Western language out there except America, English, I should say, has the concept of gender. And Latino includes a masculine ending. Latina, by the way, means female. Latin, Latina, ends with an A. That's why in German words, the word the in German is either die, der, or das, depending you're talking about a noun that is masculine, feminine, or neither. Das Boot, the boat. No gender. Anyway, so the term Latinx, by the way, has a 2% approval rating among Latinos, Latinas, people of Latin descent. It is quite patently a term used so that white upper middle class progressives never have to learn the difference between a Mexican and a Puerto Rican. They're very different socially, culturally. The languages have different accents. That's all too bothersome for the white upper middle class progressives who, A, listen to National Public Radio, and B, make up and use terms like Latinx to describe all Latin Americans, for which we already have a perfectly good term used by the other 98% of Latinos, which is Latino. Why, yes, it's a masculine term. It's also the generic term if you speak Spanish. Oh, there's other terms like this. Global warming. Well, that got satirized within an inch of its life decades ago, and now it became climate change. And that, by the way, is going the way of the dodo as well, bit by bit here. The granddaddy of them all, liberal. Back in the 1980s, the term liberal started to become a dead weight around the backs of, well, liberals. The term progressive came out to replace that because the term liberal was testing badly. And the next one, just watch for this. Just watch for this. The term woke. Right now it's considered up until fairly recently, it's been an unambiguously complimentary term. It's good to be woke. And yet that term is being mocked and taunted and satirized and japed at from the right. And you're starting to see the first little hints that Big Left is walking that term back and is trying to withdraw it from circulation. Not just withdraw it from circulation, but in fact say, we never used that term. You're starting to see it on social media. Woke is just a term used to slander progressive thought by people on the right. Wokeness doesn't exist. It's just a dog whistle for the alt-right to use to try and satirize us. So, we'll be talking more about this after the top of the hour here, because the aspects of the social, well, the culture war that we have to fight, that we have to win, are bearing themselves out both nationally and here locally. And in ways that involve a certain amount of learning of history and a certain amount of rewriting of same. We'll talk about that and much more. Plus, perhaps, with a little bit of luck, the big reveal about big changes coming with the Northern Alliance Radio Network and AM 1280 The Patriot and the Twin Cities Media, at whose vanguard this broadcast is. That and much more coming up in the next hour of the show. 651-289-4488, the number to call. You can also join us on hashtag NARN Show. That's NARN Show on Twitter, on Gab, which is like Twitter for people who hate communism, and MeWe, which is the same thing for Facebook. But join us any way you want. Stick around. Another whole hour to go, which means the fun is literally just about half over. Go nowhere.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back. 800-824-3853. 800-824-3853. That's 800-824-3853. 800-824-3853.
"I should have done it sooner." That's a comment heard often from satisfied patients at IneedMoreHair.com. Dennis Prager here. If you've been exploring solutions for your hair loss, go to IneedMoreHair.com and see what they're doing for men and women like you. The consultations are free and the results are amazing. You'll be under the care of some of the most experienced hair transplant specialists in the country. Their doctors have given patients from around the world, including notable Hollywood fluid personalities a full head of hair. They can do the same for you. Their technique is so advanced that their results are guaranteed in writing and their prices are the best in the business. If you have hair loss, don't put this off another day. Contact IneedMoreHair.com at their office in Eagan for your free consultation. Experience you can trust, prices you can afford. Today is the day to get a permanent solution to your hair loss at IneedMoreHair.com. Dennis Prager here with my friend Mike Hilborn, owner of Roof to Deck Restoration. Mike, I've seen roofs in the Twin Cities that have many years of life left, but are streaked and stained and look, quite honestly, terrible. Your company actually removes those streaks?
Dennis, many people don't know it, but those black streaks and stains are caused by an algae that can be killed and cleaned away. Our process makes roofs look new again. Algae and moss grow on cedar shake roofs. Moss is especially damaging because it actually feeds on the cedar wood and prevents the wood from drying. And when wood doesn't dry, it rots.
Cleaning and sealing a cedar shake roof actually extends the life of a roof. Mike, how can people learn more?
See videos on our website at rooftodeck.com. That's rooftodeck.com.
For a free quote, call 651-699-3504. Call now through Thursday and receive $100 off your project of $1,000 or more.
Celebrating two decades.